you know, California's played kind of this pace car or lead car role in a lot of things, but there's still some difficulties California is running into, and I want to go through a few of them, specifically related to the demographics of harder-to-reach populations, vulnerable populations in the state. So I have no presenter disclosures related to financial relationships. And just to kind of recap what the Affordable Care Act actually does and how it somewhat is different in the state of California, you know, we end up with these, you know, the law is fairly large, right? But we end up with these two major access programs as the underpinning, and I'd argue probably, you know, 50% of the funding is going to those types of programs. We see some innovation in Medicare, some, you know, health home demonstrations in Medicaid, other aspects that are designed to kind of get at those value-based and kind of quality-focused segments of the bill. But really what we're faced with now and what's making, you know, media coverage is certainly certainly related to the access provisions. So, of course, first we have this optional Medicaid expansion that all states are allowed to take part in, but only about almost 30 states are going to do it in various forms, including states like Arkansas and Iowa that are pursuing alternative models using more of a private model. Tax credits are designed to purchase insurance in combination with these new insurance regulations, but making that an easy process is done through the marketplace as occurred in Massachusetts and is occurring now in California with Covered California, which is a independent state-run exchange. So the Medicaid expansion in California is also moving forward. There are some unique situations, though, in California related to both Covered California and Medicaid expansion, Medi-Cal expansion, because of the fact that there were people in existing federal Medicaid waivers in California. So we have something called the Low Income Health Program currently, which is an early expansion waiver from 2010 on that includes people in 53 different counties out of the 58 counties in the state, representing about 600,000 people, who are going to be automatically transitioned into Medi-Cal in 2014. So the focus on outreach and enrollment isn't as strong in Medicaid currently in California as it is on the Covered California side. So with the Medicaid expansion and simplification, I think it's important to remember that this isn't only a change to the eligibility rules, it's also a change to how eligibility and income is counted, as well as kind of freeing up how enrollment is actually done due to the ACA. So in addition to the fact that everybody who's documented and living in the U.S. for more than 5 years with a green card is now eligible up to 138% of the federal poverty level, you also have these additional provisions related to no wrong-door enrollment, saying you can come in through any avenue, whether it be through the state marketplace, whether it be through county social services as signed up through Medi-Cal now, or through you know, phone, email, all these different avenues, will still lead to the same location, right? There will be more integrated referral going on between these different offices that have always handled Medicaid enrollment. In addition, we have the simplified eligibility determination, where we're moving from a monthly income counting process and categorical eligibility, where it's just parents, their kids, the aged, and disabled that end up qualifying for Medicaid. Adults have to go through, had to go through an asset test. Now you're moving away from that, at least for the non-elderly population, and doing away with the asset test, as well as moving to a modified adjusted gross income calculation based in, you know, in essence on someone's tax return with a few reductions and or deductions and additions. So the actual income guideline is a lot easier to figure out, and every state had to tell the federal government how they're going to modify their income guidelines that they're using now in the monthly determination into the modified adjusted gross income calculation. So in California, for example, our SCHIP population, which used to be at 250% of FPL, is now going to be at 261% of FPL plus that 5% disregard that comes with the ACA. So all of a sudden, the bounds of enrollment become different. So it's not only clearer, but also they actually set a standard that you don't have to do kind of this income determination calculation with. In addition, of course, the majority of spending is being paid by federal funds, 100% for the first 3 years, dwindling down from 95% in 2017 to 90% by 2020. And this changes the game as well, right? We're in a state in California that, although we're viewed as very liberal by many in the nation, we still have had the incentive to limit people moving into the Medicaid program because it's been 50% state funded, 50% federally funded. And you can see that very apparently in the way Medicaid eligibility works, where it's very diffuse. It works in counties in different ways. In some counties, you can call a number and sign up. In other counties, you can go online and sign up. In other counties, they only take in-person applications. And there's lots of variation across the state. And a lot of people think of that as an easy way to put up barriers to the application process. All of a sudden, we're in a world where, you know, the state government is being asked to throw the gates open and let everybody into Medicaid. And there was concern about that because of the relationship between the state and the county, and the fact that even when you throw open the gates to Medicaid for this newly eligible population that will come with federal support, you're also throwing those gates open to a previously eligible population where probably only about 60% of those who were previously eligible actually signed up will now be coming into the Medi-Cal program, but the matching rate will not follow, right? They will still be getting that same 50% federal matching rate that has existed in Medicaid prior to the ACA. So there's some tension in California about that issue. In terms of Covered California, we have our own standalone health insurance marketplace. The individual and small group market is separated, so there is an option to combine the two. California decided to keep them separate. And our small group market, at least, is 2 to 50 employees. So right now, we're not complying with the full ACA requirement of going to 100 employees being in the small group market. We'll be doing that in 2017 when the requirement goes into effect. Right now, we're kind of in a temporary 50-employee market, so that the definition of small and large group will change in the next couple years. In addition, California pursued something called being an active purchaser. Basically, there's been a lot of precedent in California to do selective contracting with insurance companies, and Covered California split the state up into 19 different rating regions and had a bidding process and actually took bids via an RFP from the insurers that wanted to do business in those 19 different rating regions, and they evaluated each proposal. And so you see a multitude of plans, 12 different insurance carriers statewide, but usually about 5 or less in each market. So in each rating region, you have a different set of 5 insurers coming in and different plans that they're offering. So not all carriers are in all markets, and 8 of them have experience in Medi-Cal managed care. So you might be in some markets where there's all private entrants who never did Medi-Cal managed care business. You could see some markets where there are 3 plans that have, 3 or 4 plans that have Medi-Cal managed care business. So for example, in LA County, we have LA Care, Kaiser Permanente, Molina, Blue Cross, and Blue Shield, all offering in the exchange in Covered California. And it just so happens that LA Care and Health Net are the 2 Medi-Cal managed care plans in the region. And in addition to that, they've always subcontracted lives to Molina and Kaiser Permanente and other companies. So you end up with a set of insurers doing business in different areas of the county that have pretty good experience with a lower income Medicaid population or slightly higher income population. So in some areas of California, they may be very effective at dealing with low-income population, and others you may just see a few, you know, Blue Cross and Blue Shield doing most of the business, and you won't see that same sensitivity. Now, in California, of course, we have fairly diverse populations, and so it became apparent that there's this need to target outreach enrollment, and that's reflected in the type of outreach enrollment grants that are being made. Language needs are different, so that's apparent in the advertising and the information available online. As well. In California, of course, we have quite a few undocumented immigrants that are both denied coverage in Medicaid and the exchange with subsidies through the Affordable Care Act. They are still protected by the individual market rules that the ACA applies of guaranteed issue rating based on age, and in California, that's it, basically, besides rating region and policy type, because we banned smoking as a rating factor. But they won't be able to buy even with their own money in the exchange. So the outreach to undocumented immigrants really is targeted at the county level, where the county is the provider of last resort in the state due to how our state law is written, and they will still take on that burden of taking care of the undocumented population in various ways. Another element where we're quite a bit different is in that we have state-funded Medicaid for the existing legal permanent resident population living in the U.S. for less than 5 years. So they don't comply with the ACA's requirement around Medicaid, but the state has been funding that population. Now, under the Affordable Care Act, the state could hand off that population to Covered California, and that population would get insurance subsidies through Covered California. So what California is going to do later on in 2014 is issue wraparound payments to those to Covered California to pay the premiums on their behalf that the tax credit doesn't provide. So in essence, everybody LPR in legal permanent residence for less than 5 years who would have been a state-funded Medicaid population who are newly eligible will still get insurance, but the premium will be paid for by Medicaid and the tax credit. And in California, we have quite a bit of under-enrollment in public programs. Often, you know, Massachusetts, we have two models in California that we usually use to figure out what the response will be, and one is based on our experience with Healthy Families and the State Children's Health Insurance Program, and one is based on Chapter 58 and the Massachusetts experience. And, you know, it's very widely different, where it took us about 5 years to get up to full enrollment in SCHIP, and Massachusetts was kind of a 2 to 3 year period where until full enrollment had kicked in. And we have under-enrollment in public programs in general with our Medicaid population. Only about 61% are signed up when they're even if they're eligible. So to support the effort of the exchange as well as state policymakers around decisions in California, there's a model that we built using national data sources, but also the California Health Interview Survey, Employer Health Benefits Survey, and various state data sets. And we're able to model two different scenarios, a base scenario of kind of this, maybe not worst case, but a typical California experience versus something a little bit more aggressive and enhanced version, where we anticipate that outreach enrollment worked a lot better than it typically does. And that was created at UCLA and UC Berkeley's Center for Labor Research and Education. So we show that you know, without the ACA, we would have about a 5.8 million person uninsured population in 2019. With the ACA, in that base scenario, we would see about 4 million, so 1.8 million reduction, and then another 900,000 under the enhanced scenario by moving to a more aggressive outreach model. You can see that employer-sponsored insurance shrinks a little bit because of the weakness of the employer mandate, but also the options that people will now have to forego their employer-sponsored insurance and buying the exchange if that insurance was unaffordable. A large part of this is people who are Medi-Cal eligible now, who are under 138% of FPL, because they could sign up for Medi-Cal if they wanted to, even if their employer insurance was affordable. We would see quite a bit of a swell in Medi-Cal, with about 1 to 1.4 million people joining the Medi-Cal and SCHIP rolls, with about 700 to a million of those people being newly eligible, the other 400,000 or so being previously eligible. And then, of course, the subsidized exchange isn't necessarily pulling from our current individual market, but would be probably responsible for adding about 1.7 to 2 million people to the insured population. With some of them being from other payer categories where they were insured before and they just found it wiser to join a different source of coverage. Despite the fact that we anticipate making a pretty large dent in the uninsured population, you can see here how the 3 to 4 million people we expect to remain uninsured kind of break out, with about 50% in the base scenario and 37% in the enhanced scenario actually being eligible for subsidies in the exchange or being eligible for Medi-Cal, but just not taking up. There is a group, about 29%, they're eligible for the exchange without subsidies, but it's cheaper for them to sign up, to not sign up and pay the penalty, where that may not be the case for those who are eligible with exchange subsidies. And of course, we have about a million people who are likely to remain uninsured because of their undocumented status, and they're not eligible for that coverage expansion. So in terms of hard-to-reach populations, among those who end up signing up for insurance versus those who do not, you can see that among the total eligible people between 138% of FPL and 400% of FPL, those exchange subsidy criteria, about 1.19 million are Latino, and in the base scenario, we only anticipate about a quarter taking up and 45% taking up the enhanced model. And most of that difference is because of the issues of limited English proficiency. In the Asian population, it's less pronounced, even though it would be a little bit higher, with about 27% to 33% taking up. And then the African American population, you see much better response as well. From an age group perspective, it looks pretty even across the ages, but it's important to note that the majority of people who are now eligible in Covered California are people from 45 to 64. And these are also people who are less likely to see those premium hikes this year because of the changes to the rules and the fact that their companies are canceling insurance policies and offering them new policies. So, you know, one of the interesting things that's going on there is that the, you know, there's been some concern that people getting a letter from Kaiser canceling their policy and saying it's now being replaced with this these new rules aren't being all that forthcoming about the fact that there is an exchange out there and that there are subsidies available in that exchange to help buy insurance. It just says, we have five different options for you at these different levels, and this is what your premium will be. So if people only use that piece of paper to make their decision, they're probably limiting themselves from taking advantage of subsidies. And there should be some concern about the way they're noticing people for the change and not really using it as a way to move people into covered California. And I'm sure you'll see variation depending on the insurance company issuing these notices because of the fact that some of them aren't actually in covered California at all because of the bidding process. Then, of course, with the limited English proficient, about a million of those eligible for covered California in 2014 are limited English proficient, with only about 21 to 42% expected to take up, because partially because of those language barriers. Now, in Medi-Cal, the situation is pretty similar, but you do see better reaction among the Latino population, among those across all age groups, and partially that's because Medi-Cal is virtually free, right? We only have premiums in California for kids in the 150 to 250% of FPL group who are moving from our current CHIP program into Medi-Cal. Everybody else is premium free with either non-existent or very low cost sharing. But the majority of the remaining uninsured, even into 2019, mm-hmm. are expected to be Latino, with about two-thirds of the population, Asian representing about 11% of the population, African American is a very small slice, and then whites with 18%. And the concentration, of course, is going to be in Southern California for the most part, with Riverside, San Bernardino, Orange, and LA County being the representing about 62% of the remaining uninsured in that base model. But the majority of the uninsured are predicted to be limited English proficient, with nearly 3 out of 5 Californians who remain uninsured predicted to be limited English proficient. Even among limited English proficient adults, 54% of those eligible for Medi-Cal or exchange subsidies will remain unenrolled, with the most common languages being Spanish, with 80% of that group, as well as Chinese, Vietnamese, and Korean. And so if exchange and Medi-Cal messaging and marketing plans focus on those four languages, we would hope to achieve something closer to that enhanced scenario, where at least about half of that population is signing up versus what we're predicting now. You can see that Covered California is doing a fairly good job in terms of providing information at a, you know, on a varied language level. But really, the website is only available in Spanish or English. All of the others are information sheets. So you can get information sheets in Arabic, Armenian, Chinese, Farsi, Hmong, Khmer, Korean, etc. But the actual website, you can just toggle back and forth between English and Spanish. So there's some concern where we have very large Korean, Chinese populations that we may not be doing as well as we could with those groups. So in order to assist enrollment, Covered California is focused on outreach and enrollment or outreach and education grants. They issued about $37 million to 41 organizations, of which UC Berkeley is one of them. And so Sochi will come up later and talk a bit about their experience as an outreach and education grantee. In addition, there are 4 provider education grants given out to different provider groups to do education with providers specifically for about $3.1 million. In addition, so the outreach and education projects are working very differently than we might see in Massachusetts, where the outreach, education, and enrollment kind of entity all work together in one as one single grantee. So if you had a grant, you are also doing outreach and enrollment and actually able to sign people up as enrollment counselors. In California, that's a little bit different because these outreach and education grantees are just that. They're supposed to be doing outreach and education, handing out materials, and there hasn't really been a link built for most of those grantees with what's called certified enrollment entities, which are then housing certified enrollment counselors within those certified enrollment entities. Some of them are compensated, some are uncompensated. But you have to be a nonprofit entity, 501c3, you need a taxpayer ID, you need to be able to process kind of payroll issues, you need to be able to have $1 million liability insurance policy with Covered California as an added member of that policy. So there are some barriers to becoming a certified enrollment entity, even among those organizations that want to, And then once you do, you then have to get your certified enrollment counselors embedded in your entity trained. And there are only about 619 who have been trained thus far in California out of about 4,000 who have applied. In addition to that, certified insurance agents that are allowed to sell exchange plans, there are about probably 19,000 that have applied to become certified insurance agents, and only about, I think at this point, 3,000 have been trained. So there's this backlog in training that's occurring, and because of that, it's harder for this outreach and education grantees to link with insurance agents and counselors that could actually sign people up. And so, you know, there's some concern about that. In addition, we're not getting federal Navigator money, so we're doing Navigator grants within the state, and those haven't been released yet either, and those organizations would do in-person application assistance too. The other thing that's going on is that Covered California is really focused on enrolling their folks, and then Medi-Cal will be getting grants, will be issuing grants with the California Endowment funding the state share of those grants to do Medi-Cal enrollment and outreach through counties and fees for signing applications up. So it's kind of a sporadic siloed system at this point, in my opinion. As I mentioned, though, we do have the early start to Medi-Cal, which will probably deal with a lot of these issues, where we have this Medicaid coverage initiative expansion population earning up to 133% of federal poverty level in 53 of the 58 counties that enrolled almost 600,000 people and will be shifting over as of January 1, 2014. And they're being assigned directly into managed care plans. They're getting notices related to who their medical home will be. And so that's expected to be a more seamless process. And you can see here that some of the counties are taking a big chunk of that Medicaid population and some aren't. With Sacramento County, for example, they go up to 67% of federal poverty level under the waiver and will be handing off about 10% of their uninsured population, whereas LA goes all the way up to 133%. And would be handing off over half of their uninsured population that would be eligible for Medicaid in 2014. So, you know, I think the open enrollment process, the transition of these existing state programs could hold the door open long enough to move as many people as possible over. I think in, you know, looking at how it looks in Medi-Cal right now, the enhanced scenario might be working out well, but given the minimal problems with the website in California. Really, the issues have been around the provider list and also actually having in-person assistance. It shouldn't be as bad as we might expect in the state program. At the same time, when I think roughly there have probably been about 200,000 completed applications for Covered California up to this point, and you know that represents probably about a third of what's going on in the whole country. California has been actively engaged in reaching this LEP population through marketing campaigns, also through giving these communication outreach grants to organizations that have a history of dealing with lower income diverse populations like Asian Americans for Advancing Justice and Community Health Councils Incorporated, folks like that. But I think the delays in, you know, rolling out the certified application or certified enrollment entities and the certified enrollment counselors, as well as training those certified insurance agents to sign people up, could be delaying people's open enrollment, in addition to the fact that they can't really see at this point what providers are in the plans that they would like to sign up for. So with that, I will take questions based on Gil's hand wave. So I'll take a couple and then we'll move on to the next. Yes. Right. So that's actually fairly difficult to do. We've done some of that because we were tasked by the state with getting data on applications that were coming through various counties and seeing which ones completed. It becomes problematic because of the fact that there are lots of applications that hit the counties and they end up, you know, coming in through an online mechanism, but they don't get completed unless it's in person. Or they are, you know, come in through the phone and they have a answering machine for their phone line and it ends up getting completed in person. So really it looks like everything is in-person enrollment. when in actuality we're having quite a bit of success in Recovery California, especially during that first week when the website was slower, there wasn't enough information up, people didn't know how to navigate, where they were doing a lot of in-person, or not in-person, but phone enrollment through customer service agents working in Recovery California, and they were able to enroll people into their Recovery California options. And if you're under 250% of federal poverty level in California and you're getting these substantial subsidies, your kids are going into Medi-Cal because of the CHIP program. So they were kind of able to negotiate those two elements where they were getting the kids into the CHIP program, they were getting the parents into their program, picking a plan, but they still were lacking information like the network and things like that. So it seemed to be working fairly well on the phone side, and when I've gone out, you know, we're trying to do something at UCLA to have medical students and MPH students do outreach enrollment with folks, and you know, when they're going out to talk to people, it tends to be people, you know, as Brian mentioned, what's the deductible, what's the difference between an HMO and an EPO, like we're offering exclusive provider organizations, PPOs, and, you know, what do I get if I go to HealthNet versus Molina versus Anthem? And so there are lots of questions about how to navigate the health insurance they're going to buy to inform the decision. So I'm thinking in-person and phone will probably work the best for these lower-income populations, and they do have the capacity to do in-person and phone applications in various languages. The other issue is paper applications. It's a short three-page application with 30 pages of instructions, and it hasn't been approved by CMS yet. So they haven't been able to convert it and translate it to all the threshold languages in California that would be needed, and that will probably be really important for certified insurance agents and folks like that that'll be working in, you know, disadvantaged or low English proficiency communities to actually be able to go through the application. I mean, my mother-in-law is an insurance agent, and she first language is Korean. She doesn't speak English all that well, and so she's waiting for the Korean application to come out so she can actually walk her patients through, or walk her customers through that, because she can't read 30 pages of English instructions. So, you know, I think that'll be a concern as well. All right. Oh, yes. Well, so I believe Covered California will be releasing some enrollment data on November 15th. I would anticipate that enrollment data will show the plans and the numbers of people enrolling in each one by rating region. That is my hope. I doubt it will have anything, you know, they may say this is how many people got enrolled in Medi-Cal in that county, but they probably won't say much about income unless it's these people got subsidies versus not. We're not really going to see, we probably won't see great race ethnicity data for a while. So I think you'll probably see progress in your area. It'll just be very difficult to figure out, you know, who's actually signing up. The other thing you could do is look on the list of communication outreach grantees in the state and contact them. There are some statewide ones and some county level ones. And so, like, NAACP is a statewide entity, but Community Health Council is incorporated as a county entity in South LA. So you could actually contact them and see how they're doing in South LA and kind of get an idea there. Sure. So basically what's happening is California Endowment offered to put up the state matching funds for equivalent grants to kind of a navigator grant for counties, though. So they're targeting the money to counties that have a high uninsured population. So you could anticipate potentially that the low-income health program counties like LA might get less than you would typically expect because they've already enrolled 280,000 people that are going to be automatically transitioned. So they only have to worry about the remaining 250,000 people that are still remaining uninsured. So I think they're going to steer it that way, but as far as I know, the grants aren't going to actual community organizations unless the county is subcontracting with those community organizations and bringing in the grant themselves and then giving up some of the money. In addition, the state will be paying, I believe it's the same application fee, like the $58 and then $25 renewal to the entities that sign people up. And California Endowment, again, is putting up that money for the state share, and then the federal government will kick in the 50% match. All right, thank you.